City of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. May 19th, 2:19 p.m. Three smokers were hanging out outside the bar on Cook Street. A woman was carrying a cardboard box filled with old clothes, heading for the consignment shop. Across the street, three house painters had just climbed the stairs up from the hardware store, burdened with supplies for repairing drywall. A man was walking towards Pandora Avenue and the grocery store on its corner. The street itself was crowded with traffic, congested despite the suicide turn lane running down the center. The pace was a crawl in the lane heading south as the last few vehicles caught up to the line awaiting a change of lights down at Pandora. A UPS delivery van had just turned from Pandora, heading north. In total, 11 cameras caught the event, as stills and video. There was an exceptional amount of concurrence among the witnesses when later questioned by journalists and police officers. The event had already gone viral when the official inquiry began. A middle-aged woman had been walking down Cook, on the same side as the consignment store and the bar. She had been well-dressed, her stride assured, her hands in the pockets of her charcoal-gray mid-length coat, and her fiery red hair long enough to lift in the wind coming up from the south, but not so long as to fantail out behind her. Her face, as the nearest witnesses recalled, was curiously memorable. High cheekbones, flat cheeks, a wide jaw. A face that hadn't seen much sun. There'd been some clouds overhead, scudding in from the Souk Hills to the west, so at first, no one had paid much attention to the shadow settling across the street. One of the smokers, a Mr. John Allaire, was wheelchair-bound. His angle of repose afforded him the privilege of being the first person to sight the dispersal of the cloud overhead, revealing the slightly curved shape of something solid and huge.
"Like the underside of a plate, a china plate," John said.
In the course of his life up until now, this was his defining event. Things had been pretty shitty for some time. His smoking was killing his legs below the knees. His drinking was pickling his liver. He was 63 years old and living on assistance. He never won the lottery.
"Like the underside of a plate, a china plate, that then started glowing in the middle, dead center. Glowing like you wouldn't believe. I had to shade my eyes, but that didn't stop me seeing the beam of light come down right on that woman, who wasn't 20 feet from me. She never knew what hit her."
Margot Rivette agreed.
"She was just walking, and then the light swallowed her up, and then the light was gone, and so was she. I was bringing old clothes in, you know, and an old pair of high heels. Can't believe I bought those. Not meant for human feet. I must have lost my mind. But consignment, right? There's always the chance. I mean, people will buy anything."
"The light hit," said Rick Schultz. "We were just out from the store, me and Jack and Natty, carrying shit to the back of the truck. The fucking light stabbed down from that fucking UFO and bam, the woman was gone. Then the ship just folded up and vanished."
"Holy fuck, yeah," added Jack. "She was like incinerated."
"Folded up and vanished," Rick repeated. "Damn thing didn't even fly away."
Who was she? No one knew. They would have to await reports of someone gone unexpectedly missing. It might take a day or two, and if the woman lived alone, maybe a lot longer. None of the video or still shots caught much of her face. Too bad about that, but then not surprising. Everyone was filming the UFO. Dr. Hamish Drake worked too hard. People who knew him agreed on that, especially his wife. For the past 5 years, Hamish had been one of only three general practitioners in Greater Victoria who was accepting new patients. It was something of a crisis. He was between patients that afternoon, stealing a few minutes trying to work his way into a stack of test results appended to patient files, when his receptionist, Noorjahan Aziz, entered his office. Startled by the absence of a knock, Hamish looked up over his reading glasses. There was an ashen hue to her face, the kind of look he had seen before, usually when red-flagged results came back on a long-standing patient. Death had a way of stalking the living, a detail both Noorjahan and Hamish understood all too well. It arrived in a pallor, the blood draining from a living face.